Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you into the studio on tonight. I am excited. I am so excited about tonight's show, and I am ready to present the show to the listening audience on tonight, and I'm praying that it will be a blessing to you because it's really been a blessing to me. And those of you that have been following my show over the last 3 or 4 years, you know that oftentimes when I share, I have guests that come on, but when I'm sharing, I'm normally sharing from a place of experience. And if you hear any background noise, I want to apologize in advance for that. The enemy does not want this show to go forward on tonight. He does not want this show to go forward because it's power-packed. It's got something for each and every individual on this call on tonight. So I know that the distractions are there. I know the background noise is there. But I'm going to move forward because I know that this is a word for whoever is listening on tonight, whoever has an ear to hear. And I'm going to share a little bit about this word on tonight. It's powerful because I've been in a place over the last several weeks. I've really been in a place where I've been in a dip. And I call it, it's dips, but I also call it valleys. So I've been in some valleys over the last several weeks. And yes, we could be a believer. And yes, we could believe in God. And yes, we could be prayer. You know, we could pray to God. And yes, we could have a relationship with God. And guess what? You still could go through valleys. You still could go through valleys. But the question is what do you do when you're in those valleys? What do you do when you're in those dark times of the soul? Have you ever been in a dark place? And I know when we use the word dark, a lot of us as believers or Christians, we don't want to use that word. We don't want to. It's a bad word, so to say. You know, we don't want to use that word dark. But how many of you would be honest with yourself? I can't see you, so it's only between you and God right now that would be honest with yourself to say that I've been in some dark places in my life. Even though I was a believer, even though I was a Christian, even though all these things, I have been in some dark places, and I didn't think that I would ever get out of those dark places. How many of us have questioned our salvation or thought, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or maybe I'm not supposed to be here anymore. Maybe I should just check out, or Lord, just let me go to sleep and not wake up. Ooh, don't say those kind of things, because see, we don't want to talk about those kind of things. But guess what? We know people are thinking like that because every day we're hearing about somebody who commits suicide. We're hearing about somebody that did not wake up the next day. So we know that people have these thoughts. And if we be honest with ourselves, I'm sure many of us have had these thoughts. I'm sure many of us have grown weary in this journey called life. And we just didn't know. And especially at times like this where us as believers, based on the word of God and what we know the word of God to say, we're being told that we're in the end times. And we're seeing the manifestation of prophetic word through the word of God that we are in these last days. And because we're in those last days, we also know that the word tells us in book after book and scripture after scripture that in the last days that hearts would grow wax cold, that they're, you know, that people fall away from the faith, that people be deceived. And we hear all these things. And so when we're getting in this place, we start wondering, oh my gosh, am I being deceived? Is my heart waxing cold? What's going on? So I believe tonight's show, if you can relate to anything that I just said, then you need to stay on tonight's show. And if you know somebody that's in a hard place, that is just hopeless, you might want to call them and make them aware of tonight's show, because I'm telling you, it is a word for you on tonight if you know somebody that's going through, because this word that I'm going to give you is a word that God gave me, a revelation that God gave me because I was going through. I had so many things going on, with children and finances and so many different things going through. And I felt like my heart was beginning to wax cold. I was starting to wonder, Lord, I know I serve you. I know I do ministry. I know I've ministered to thousands of people. I know there are some people who found you, Lord, through my ministry. But, Lord, I'm starting to wonder if I'm really, what is this all about? Am I really doing this for you? Then I even began to start thinking, well, what if I'm getting everybody else in that, you know, towards heaven and me myself missed the mark? So I'm going to move forward and I'm going to set the scene and I will be reading scripture. So I suggest that you go ahead and I'm going to give you just a moment to get you a pen, get you a paper, get your Bible. Get, if you don't have a Bible, every smartphone has a Bible app, because I don't want you to just take my word for what the scripture was to me. But guess what? I believe that when I begin to read the scripture, and as God leads me tonight to minister to you, I believe that you're going to get your own revelation on tonight. I have a couple of scriptures that I'm going to work from to build this case. And so I'm going to start off with Luke. Last week, or earlier this week, I was in such a funk, and my family could relate. They, you know, they got this, they have this teasing for me, because everybody know Coach D, Denise, the woman of God, the wise woman, the business woman, you know, the kind, loving, and considerate woman, the woman with compassion that really have a heart to want to see other people succeed, that want to see other people walk in integrity and character and accountability. Yet my family knows my humanity. And see, oftentimes we forget when people are in ministry, we think, oh, they're in ministry and they're going to be perfect. We're not perfect. We're just people. We're human. But the difference is that we've made a commitment to walk this journey. We've said yes to God, because God said, I want you to do this. And we said yes. And we didn't try to figure out, Lord, how you going to do this mess? How you going to correct my bad attitude? How you going to correct when, you know, this? How you going to correct that? We just kind of move in faith. We move in faith and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I know that I'm not complete. I know that I have weaknesses. I know that I have flaws, but Lord, I'm just going to move. I'm just going to walk in the steps that you've ordered, and I'm just going to allow you to form me and shape me and mold me during this journey to be what you've called me to be. And that's hard. That is hard for people to do, because most people won't say yes because they don't feel like, oh, I can't say yes because I haven't stopped doing this. I can't say yes because I haven't stopped doing that. And I think sometimes the transformation is in the obedience of yes. The transformation is in the obedience of yes. And if we would just say yes and be willing to position ourselves in his presence, he will pierce through darkness. So tonight's show's title is this: Piercing the Darkness, Positioned in His Presence. I'm going to say that again. Piercing the Darkness, Positioned in His Presence. And you'll understand why that title is so fitting. So I'm going to take you all to Luke chapter 10. And we're going to go from chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I'm going to start this message on tonight with this, and I'm going to read, and if any of you know about Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, it's going to tell about the story of Martha and Mary. We've heard this story a million times, but the reason why this story is going to mean something different to you tonight than it's always meant to you any other time. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 38. In verse 38, and I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version, and verse 38 says this: As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Yet the Lord exclaimed, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Ooh, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Now I'm going to break down this story, because this is what really ministered to me. There's some key words in here that I want you to understand, because if depending on what version of the that you're reading, you may get a few different words. In the Amplified, it gets a little bit more breakdown. But it says several adjectives in this these scriptures that described Martha. It described Martha as being busy. It described Martha as being distracted. It described her as being worried and she was agitated. She was upset. She was angry and she was frustrated. She was anxious. And with all those things come fear. So Martha, with all these things, these emotions, and so she was busy doing ministry, she was busy serving, Martha did what she had to do, but Mary did what was needed. I want you to get that on tonight, because this is so clear to minister to many of us that's doing ministry. We're doing ministry. We're doing mamahood. We're doing wifehood. We're doing husbandhood. We're doing all these things. And yes, I made up those words. That's okay. But you'll get it. But we're doing all these things. And these are things that we have to do. But the question is, are you doing what is needed? And sometimes we get things that we have to do confused with things that's needed. And in the midst of that, of Martha being busy, in the midst of Martha being distracted, in the midst of Martha being worried and agitated, I felt all of this. Over the last several weeks, I felt that I was busy. I was moving, going nowhere fast. You know, you ever been on a treadmill and you're working up a sweat and you're breathing hard and you're doing a whole lot of work and you're probably even burning calories, but you're not going nowhere. Well, in several weeks, I've been feeling like I'm moving fast, but I'm not going nowhere. Distracted. Then I started finding that I was being distracted. I made a conscious decision to commit to a different lifestyle. It was a lifestyle of healthiness. It was a lifestyle to get my temple in order and to get back aligned vertically in my temple. Because when your temple is not healthy and you're dealing with sickness, disease, and disorder, guess what? It hinders the ministry that God has for you. It hinders the plan that he has for you. So I made that commitment. And because I made that commitment, don't you know that the enemy is slick, or at least he thinks he's slick? Don't you know that when he sees that you mastered something? See, I mastered this commitment. I'm 33 days vegan. Now, that you ain't got to be vegan to have your temple in order. That's just the route I chose. But I mastered that thing. I mastered not eating for 21 days. I'm sorry. I mastered that. It didn't faze me. It didn't bother me. I didn't trip up. I didn't cheat. I didn't do all that. Well, I'm not bragging on me, but what I'm saying, I'm setting the scene here. Because guess what? When you master an area in your life, you better believe there's going to be another area that the enemy is going to touch. That's his job. He has three jobs. He has the job to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. But guess what? Those three things could take you from where you need to be. Kill, steal, and destroy. So I have mastered this commitment in this journey that I believe that God had called me to. So because I mastered that area, he found another loophole. How many know that the enemy will find a loophole? How many know that a defense attorney will find a loophole for that criminal? That criminal who went in and stole and killed or whatever, they'll find a loophole. How many know that if you get into a contract and if you're not careful to read it, you'll find yourself in a loophole that will cost you? Well, the enemy works the same way. He will find a loophole. And if you're not careful, and if you don't have all your guards gated, he will find a loophole to get in. Well, he found a loophole to get in. And because he found that loophole to get in, he began to cause havoc. So what does havoc do? Havoc, first thing it does is it distracts us. It pulls you away from the very thing that you're supposed to be focusing on. And so now I'm focused on this new life journey, and he's causing havoc over here. So now I'm distracted. What else does havoc cause when havoc happens in our life? It causes worry. It causes fear. It causes anxiety. All these things which, if not taken care of swiftly, will cause issues in your mind, your body, and your soul. And I'm going to speak tonight as the soul being our emotions, because that's not the spirit, but the soul being our. But these things will begin to cause havoc in those areas of your life. So now we're dealing with all these busy and distracted and worrying, and agitated and frustrated. And what we'll start seeing is subtle. It's not sometimes obvious. Because what I found myself doing, and I'm going to be transparent because I'm always transparent, because whether you grow on what I share on tonight, I'm going to continue to grow on it. But I was having dinner with my family on yesterday evening, and we were having dinner, and I became so agitated by the server. Her attitude was just terrible. She did not have a customer service attitude. She didn't have a servant attitude. Her attitude was as if we were inconveniencing her. And I dealt with it for as long as I thought I could deal with it. And then Niecy came out. Yes, I'm gonna tell you, Niecy came out. I didn't realize that I had snapped on the lady. But what I did realize is that I thought what I was doing was correcting her, because I thought that she needed to be made aware, because a lot of times people will have a bad disposition, and guess what? They're unconscious. They don't even know that they have a bad disposition. So I think Niecy felt like she needed to let her know that she had a bad disposition. And so needless to say, I brought it to her attention, and she didn't receive it well. She kind of, I guess she also had a Niecy herself, and everybody that know me know that when I speak about Niecy, I'm talking about where we could go back there. My pastor often says that he's only one block removed from Compton, and what he basically means in that, for those of you that's not catching it, is that, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm Holy Ghost filled. Yes, I love the Lord. Yes, yes, and yes. However, there are some moments that if I don't stay conscious in a moment of time, I could go back there. I could go back to the girl from the hood. I could go back to the girl that had a bad attitude and a bad disposition and bad understanding. And so I don't want to go there, and I'm not bragging on her, but what I'm saying is we all have that. We all are human. We have that humanity, but don't get proud in that. But what I want to tell you is that oftentimes we'll go there when we get busy, when we get distracted, when we're worried, when we get frustrated easily. When we begin to murmur and complain, we get frustrated easy. So I'm going back to Luke 10, because in here it's saying that Martha was frustrated. She was all these things. But what I want to tell you on tonight is that the Savior told her, Martha, you worry. You are worried and upset about many things. Get that. He told her, you're worried and upset about many things. And as I read the scripture, I could really feel like I could hear the voice of the Lord saying this. And, you know, I felt like I could hear the tone in which he said it. You know how you get, you know how you just hear somebody that's negative or somebody that's complaining all the time? And I don't care how sweet you are. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much you love that person. After a while, your tone becomes, good gracious, can you stop just being negative? Can you stop worrying and complaining? You're upset about a whole lot of stuff. What are you happy about? I could just hear him saying that. And then he says, but few things are needed, or indeed only me. Or one. So he said, all that stuff you worried about is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You worried about stuff, you're frustrated, you're mad, you're angry, and it's irrelevant. And the reason, Martha, the reason, Coach D, the reason, listening audience, is one reason and one reason only. We have not positioned ourselves in his presence. He said, Mary, on the other hand, has chosen what is better. See, because Mary could have been serving. Mary could have been involved in ministry at the time. Mary could have been busy being a wife, a mother, a caretaker. But Mary had positioned herself to be in his presence. And it was in his presence that Mary found peace. It was in his presence that Mary was being refueled. She was being re-strengthened. She was being renewed. She was being regenerated. She was in the presence of Christ. And so what he would say to us on tonight is this: don't get so busy with the cares and concerns of this world. Don't get so busy with life. Don't be fooled about ministry. Yes, ministry needs to be done. That's the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Yes, we need to do it. But don't ever think for one minute that ministry is more important than being in his presence. Because it's in his presence that we're able to go out and effectively do what it is that he's called us to do. So now what I want to encourage you, we're going to take this a step further. So we set the foundation for those who are just listening in. We set the foundation already. We set the foundation because I told you the story of Martha and Mary. I told you the adjectives that was used describing Martha. And again, she was busy, distracted. She was agitated. She was frustrated. I was busy. I was distracted. I was agitated. I was frustrated. I was anxious. I was in fear. I was indecisive. I didn't know if I was coming or going. Should I stay or should I not stay? And I got to a point where when you're busy, when you got all these things going on in your head, Jesus said, you worried and upset about many things. When you got many things going on in your head, you can't hear nothing. So even if God had a word for you, even if God wanted to speak something to you, he can't do it. Why? Because your mind is busy with a whole bunch of irrelevant stuff, stuff that's irrelevant. And now you're missing your blessings. You're missing the promises because you can't hear nothing when you're upset. You can't hear nothing when you got a lot on your mind when you're anxious. Because in order to hear, you got to be still. In order to hear, you got to position yourself in his presence. Now, I want to tell you what happens, because that's the encouraging part, and we are encouraged. You love the Lord. You know you love the Lord. You know, David said a prayer. David, my God, my God. David had favor with God. God loved David. David, he was busy. He did a lot of stuff, and we know he missed the mark often. He did a lot of stuff. But the thing about David is David had a repentant heart. He would turn around. He was a worshiper. He enjoyed being in the presence of the Lord. He would position himself even in when he blew it. He knew how to position himself. And one of his prayers is, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And sometimes we got to get off the treadmill and we got to fall prostrate. That's positioning ourselves in the presence of God. And we have to repent. And we have to ask the Lord to create in us a clean heart. Take away all the stuff, all the irrelevant stuff that has cluttered our heart, our mind, our thoughts, the heart of man, that has cluttered us and kept us from hearing what God has for us. He has something for us. He don't call you to a plan. He don't call you to a plan without having a purpose for why he's called you to that plan. You know, he's not telling you to plant and water a seed that for it not to grow. He's expecting for it to grow, and he's expecting for you to benefit from the fruits of your labor. So if you're not benefiting from the fruits of your labor, then you need to stop, because maybe you're missing an important part of the instructions that he's giving you. Noah, if you ever read about the Noah and how the ark and the details, it could be boring to many of us when we start reading that, because it gets very detailed to what type of wood and how long it had to be, centimeters and millimeters, and how many nails, and how he was detailed. And if Noah would have went unconscious, or if Noah would have got so busy, if Noah wouldn't positioned himself in the presence of God, guess what? That ark would have sinked. It wouldn't have survived that rain. But he had to be still. Ooh, he had to be still and know that I am is I am. that he is God. And he had to be able to take instructions. He had to be able to listen with detail, to clarity. This is what I need you to do, my son. And many of us are so busy, we're not hearing God, and then we're wondering why the fruit is not on the tree. Why we not partaking. And even in the Word of God, he goes on to say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, he says, "No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my flesh." So in other words, what Paul is saying in here, this is Paul speaking, but he's saying that if we don't be still and if we don't discipline ourselves, if we don't discipline our minds, our bodies, then what happens is we become a slave to this all this irrelevant stuff. So Paul goes on to say that he has to discipline his body and make it his slave so that after he preaches, so in other words, he's got to be in discipline so that after he ministers, after he preaches to others, after he shows others the way, the truth, and the light, that if he's not disciplined and if he doesn't position himself right, then he'll disqualify from the prize. We see that often. We see men and women of God that's ministering. And we know what they did for our lives. We know what they did for other people's lives. We know that they caused many of souls to come to Jesus. You know that they minister and they were vessels to be used to bring people to Christ. But then we see that those same men and women of God that did that because somewhere they lost discipline, somewhere they got busy doing everything, that they wasn't positioned in his presence. So we want to make sure whatever you're doing, because we're all ministers of the gospel. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you accept that call, that walk, then guess what? You become a minister of that gospel because you're now sharing that gospel with people. You're telling people about the goodness of God. You're telling them about the love of Christ. You're telling them about a Savior who came and died and rose again. And so we become ministers. But I'm telling you, you got to keep filling your cup because it's likened unto an empty cup. What good is an empty cup? How many of you have walked around with an empty cup? You can't get nothing from an empty cup. It's empty. And so as long as you're busy doing ministry, busy being mama, busy being husband, busy being employee, busy being employer, and you're busy with all this irrelevant stuff, your cup is empty. And the only way you could get your cup back full is positioning yourself in his presence. Positioning yourself in his presence. I want to skip over to 2 Peter. And so we dealt with, Luke, you know, Martha and Mary. So we want to show you the difference in those two spirits, the spirit of Martha and the spirit of Mary. And I'm not saying there. He didn't say that Martha's spirit wasn't a good spirit. What he said was, what I heard him say is, it's got to be some balance. Because while you're pouring out to others, while you're emptying that cup is going to become empty. And when it becomes empty, there's nothing else you got to give but the worrying, the anxiety, the frustration, the complaining. It's almost like your stomach. This is going to be a little graphic. For those of you that have a weak stomach, you might want to hold your ears. But it's almost like when you've been sick to the stomach and you're regurgitating, you're vomiting, and you vomit everything in your belly, whatever that thing was that made you sick, and you go through different phases. The first phase is chunky and it's food and stuff. Then the second phase of that becomes liquid. It's liquid and it comes. Then you get to a point where it ain't nothing left. And what's coming up out of it is what? Bile. It's that bitter. Ooh, it's that bitterness that's coming out. you're getting, all of y'all can relate to that. All of you guys have had a experience where you threw up, and you threw up so much so that there was nothing left inside of you, yet your stomach was still doing that reflex. Your stomach was still feeling like you needed to, but there was nothing but bitterness coming up. That's the same way with us. When you're working, when you're busy, and you're not taking the time to position yourself, you get so busy that not, what's going to happen when you're empty? Can't nothing else come up out of you but bitterness. Can't nothing else come up out of you but bile. It's nothing else in there. So, and that bile looks like this. Distraction, worried, fear, agitated, frustrated, anxiety, anger. All of these things is what it begins to look like. And so I'm going to skip over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to go through verses 5 and 7. Again, that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And I'm going to start with verse 5 saying, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, discipline, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." I want to read that again because somebody needs to get that. I know I did. For this very reason, so for the reason that you're bitter, for the reason that you got an empty cup, for the reason that you didn't position yourself in his presence, for all of this, for this very reason, you got to make an extra effort to add to your faith, to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Because that's really what we're supposed to be doing all this for anyway. For the show and reflect the love of God. And we're not showing and reflecting the love of God if we done got so empty, if we got so busy that now we find ourselves snapping at people. Now we find ourselves being short with people because we irritated. How dare she have come to my table and have a bad attitude? I'm going to tell her a thing or two. I'm going to check her. And that's not what God desires of us. He's not looking for us to be so angry or so pushy about what we believe or so angry because we're empty that we're not reflecting the love of Christ. And we know Jesus showed emotions. I mean, I'm sure he showed a whole lot of emotions because he did have a soul. You know, the knocking over of the change tables, you know, that shows some emotions. And if you're showing emotions, you know, he says in the Word of God, be angry and sin not. Well, what does that look like, Coach D? What does that mean when he says be angry and sin not? Because I think we could show the emotion of anger or frustration. But the sin comes in the action. The sin becomes the action in this case because we could get angry, and what we do with that anger is going to dictate whether we're aligned, whether we're in order. What we do with that emotion is going to dictate whether we're aligned or if we're in order. You know, are we still able to please God, or have we separated ourselves from God because now we're in sin? You know, I think being angry and going off on somebody, the going off part is the sin. You know, we don't have to go off on people. Maybe we could share something. Maybe we could find ways and find tools to be able to relate what we need to relate in a way that it doesn't be offensive to our brothers and sisters, even when they've wronged us, even when they've done something out of order and we have to correct them. There's a way of correcting in love. We could correct in love, and correcting in love takes away, you know, it doesn't have to be offensive. It doesn't have to be offensive. Amen. Amen. I want to take an opportunity for those listening in on tonight's broadcast. I'm going to take just a little break right here because I've shared a lot. And if you're listening in on tonight and you're live in the studio and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Again, you could dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let us know that you have a question or comment, and we could just, you know, feed off of that question and comment. I pray that what's going forth on today is blessing you as it has blessed me. It's taken me to a different level. My cup is definitely full again, and I just need to find ways. We got to find ways to continue to make sure that we don't get so busy that our cups get empty, and now we're frustrated, and we're operating, the very thing that God meant for good. We've turned it for bad because now we're operating in a spirit that God is not pleased with. And again, as the Word of God is telling us, we don't want to be so undisciplined that while we're ministering and helping everybody else that we miss the mark ourselves. I know I don't. I know when He comes, I want to be prepared. I don't want to be making sure everybody else have oil for their lamps and my lamp don't have any oil. So I want to make sure that I have a ready supply. I want to be ready when He comes. I don't want to be frustrated. I don't want to be wore out because I done just wore myself out being busy. Amen? Don't want to be busy. Don't want to be busy. One of the things He said is, and, you know, Revelations and saying is we could get busy, and if we don't know how to get unbusy, if we don't know how to position ourselves to get into His presence, if we don't know how to repent, that's not a good place. And Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 tells us, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." Now, we learned everything on tonight. We learned about the busy spirit. We learned about positioning ourselves to be in His presence. We learned that whatever darkness we go through, even in the sense of busy distraction, those are darknesses. You know, when you get those ugly attitudes and spirits, that's darkness. And we want to pierce through that darkness, piercing the darkness, positioning in His presence. In His presence. So in order to pierce the darkness, we got to be positioned in His presence. How do we position in His presence? How do we position in His presence? Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." You remember when you first started doing ministry, or when you first came to the Lord and you first gave your life over to Christ? You was excited. You was on fire. You was enthusiastic. You felt like you could conquer the world. You could do double somersaults. You could jump off the highest building. You know that feeling. We all had that feeling. And then somewhere we got life happened and we continued on, and then we started losing, forsaking that love, that first love. And so Revelation is telling us, you have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Because sometimes we could get so caught that we fall. We get so disconnected. God never left. He's still in the same position He was when we first found Him. But what happens is we begin to fall back, because that's what sin does. Sin separates us. Sin separates us. God don't. Because if you remember in the garden in the garden with Adam and Eve, think about it. That's where sin first entered into the earth. But if you remember, God was still pursuing Adam and Eve. "Where are you? Hey, I'm here. Let's kick it. You know how we get down. It's time for us to commune together." But they were running and hiding. So He was still in the same position, but they were running. And so this says, consider how far you have fallen. So how far are you running away from God? Because now you know you out of order. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. You know you done stepped out of line. You done did something, said something, thought something that you know was in contrary to what He would have you to do. So what you start doing, squiggling back. You start backtracking, doing the moonwalk, backing yourself away, separating yourself by that sin, that thing that you won't deal with. And so you start backtracking and you fall away from him. And then it simply says, take a look at that. If that's you on the call tonight and you know that you've been out of order, you know that you're operating in such a way that's not pleasing to God and it's separated you from him. And you're getting farther and farther away. How do you know you got getting farther away? Because you can't hear him no more. How do you know you're getting farther away? Because you're operating in all these other worry, doubt, fear, frustration. You have no peace. That's the first way you know that you've separated yourself, because you have no peace. Your joy is gone. Because the peace and the joy that we have that caused us to be excited in the first place only comes through our commune with God. So when we're separated from God, that peace is gone. That joy is gone. And so what it says simply, do you want to get back? Do you want to come back to that place that you were with him before? Do you want to experience that again? Do you want to experience the peace? Do you want to experience the joy? Do you want to experience the love that only he could give you that you can't find in a woman or a man? That void, that isolation? Are you tired of looking up at a barren tree and there's no fruit and all you can see is brown branches and a couple of leaves? Are you tired is the question. Because if you are tired, then it goes on to say, repent and do the things you did at first. That's pretty simple. My family know, and I know my mentor's listening, I hate math. And every time he begins to teach and he gets into algebra and he gets into these equations, oh my gosh, my brain shuts down. So this is not that difficult. It says if you've fallen away from your first love, if you've gotten cold, if you've gotten weary, if you've gotten angry and you miss the peace, the joy and the love that you felt at first, repent and do the things you did at first. Just that simple. No questions asked. He ain't going to ask you why you did it. He ain't going to ask you how you did it, why, because he don't have to. He already know. But he said, repent. Turn away from that thing. Turn away from those things that you know is not pleasing to God. Turn away from it. Repent. And start back doing what you was doing at first when you had your peace, when your joy was full, when you had the unconditional love. Because he said, if you don't, on tonight, if you don't repent, he will come to you and remove your lamp. Ooh, I'm getting excited because this is harsh. But see, you know what? Sometimes the truth hurts. And sometimes the word of God oftentimes will come and it will step on your toes. This ain't Coach D. This is what he's saying to me. This is what he's saying to you. If this is for you, this may not be for everybody. Everybody might be super duper spiritual, and they don't go through this stuff. But for you out there that go through this stuff, he's saying to us, if you don't repent, he's going to come to you and remove your lampshade from his place. Do you know what that means? Let me break that down in modern terms. Let me break that down in where you can understand it. He said, if you don't stop doing what you're doing that I told you not to do, that you continue to do, that's separating you from me, or me from you, or you from me, guess what? I'm going to expose you. I'm going to take the covers off of you. The covering that you have right now, because I love you so much, and even though you're foul, and even though you're out there doing something, or whatever the thing is, maybe you ain't out there doing nothing. Maybe it's your thought life. Maybe your thought life is wrong. But whatever that thing is that got you, I am back. I am back. I am back. Glory to God. See how the enemy get? Somebody needed to hear that. And he literally shut it down. But guess what? Glory to God. We are back live. If you're here, we may have lost some people, and I hate that. I'm not going to even apologize because you know how it is. So I want to get through this because
is important. Somebody needed to hear that on tonight, because he said, if we don't repent where I left off, he said, he will come and he will remove our lampshade. So he's giving us fair warning. Even though we out there in our mess, whoever that mess is, he said he loved us so much that he covered us by his love. Love covers a multitude of sins. He's telling us, I'm covering you. I placed a covering, a lampshade, a lampstand on you. I'm covering you. But if you don't repent, I'm going to remove that. And that sin is going to get exposed. It's going to get exposed. And so he's giving you warning. Repent. Turn away from. Turn back towards your first love. Turn back to the things that you know is right, what you did at first. He needs for you to do that. He needs for you to be who he's called you to be. The kingdom is depending on you. Because guess what? Just like a football team, when you're a part of a team, a part of a community, it's important, it's dire that you do what he's called you to do. Because if you don't do what he's called you to do, you're in essence, if you had a football team, and I'm going to give you something that you can understand. If you had a football team and you got all the players, and every position is important, the quarterback ain't the only star on the team, because without the linebacker or the wide receiver or this or that, guess what? The quarterback can't be a one-man team. So if the quarterback ain't in position, then what? He affects the rest of the team. But then also, if the receivers, if the linemen, I know I don't know a whole lot about football, so somebody, I know some men, I can hear them on there talking about, she don't know what she's talking about, you deal. But you get my drift. If the man on first, second, and third, those people, those bases is not covered, then it hurts the whole team when they're outfield. Because if those bases are not covered, then the other team going to be able to steal bases and then get a home run, right? So it's the same thing in the kingdom. If you're a believer, this show is really about believers. Y'all know that. You know, I could give you some other shows that's going to talk about health and nutrition and good things. But tonight's show, anytime Coach D going to be the guest for the night, it's going to really be about the Word of God. It's going to be about some revelation. It's going to be about, where do we go from now? Tonight's show wasn't supposed to damage you. Tonight's show is supposed to encourage you that guess what? Your daddy's calling you back home. Your daddy's saying stop. Do a bow of faith. Repent. Turn away from. Come back to your first love and do what I called you to do. With the same excitement, with the same joy, with the same hope, with the same passion, do what I told you to do. Whatever that thing is, we all got a thing. We might got some things, but whatever those things are, take a look at them tonight. Take a look at them, honey, because if we don't take a look at them, guess what? They're going to get exposed and everybody's going to take a look at them. So whatever, if your issue is anger, deal with it. If your issue is whatever it is, if your issue is adultery, deal with it. Fornication, deal with it. Stealing, lying, cheating, deal with it. Drugs, alcohol, whatever that thing is that got you separating yourself from God, deal with it. And so I heard somebody just say, ooh, I heard in the spirit somebody just said, ooh, I'm so glad that ain't me. I'm so glad that I'm not cheating. I'm so glad that I don't steal and lie. I'm so glad. I rebuke that Pharisee spirit in the name of Jesus, because you don't do any of those things, but your attitude sucks. Your self-righteousness sucks. Deal with it, because that could be the very thing. It could be something as simple that you don't even see being an issue, but it's an issue. And God is telling you to deal with it. Repent. Turn away from it. Get back on track. He waiting for you. He never left. He exactly where you left him, in the same place. And he's telling you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't get hard. Don't turn away from them. Don't stay in your stuff. If you out of order, get in order. Don't stay in your stuff. Because he's telling you now, he's giving you fair warning. He's not going to accept the I'm only human. Nobody's perfect. All those little cute things, he's telling you no. He's giving you a way out. It's called repent. Turn away from, head back towards him. Again, I would like to give those listening in on tonight an opportunity. If you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. I want to, like I said, I'm not going to apologize for that brief moment that we were literally shut down. As a matter of fact, the studio lights and everything were still on, and I wasn't able to get that through. But I was determined that I would not give up. I was going to persist until I succeed to get back in this studio, because I knew that this is a message for some of us from God, and he needs to let us know that he still loves us. In spite of the mistake you made, in spite of the thing you did, he still loves you, and he's telling you to repent and turn away and come back to him. He desires communion with you. He wants you to pierce through the darkness. He wants you to pierce through the darkness that life oftentimes gives us. And the only way you could pierce through that darkness is by being positioned in his presence. If you're not spending time with God and you're so busy doing life, so busy working, so busy doing ministry, and you're not spending that quality time with God, oh, you're missing it. You're missing it. Again, those of us that's doing ministry, and if we're missing it, everybody else may make it through because of our ministry, and we may miss the boat.
Amen. Wow. Again, I just want to give those listening in an opportunity by pressing 1 on your dial pad. Maybe you're out there on tonight. When you actually press 1 and make comments during the show, the one thing I want you to be aware of is that people don't know who you are. I mean, unless they know your voice, people don't know who you are. It's totally anonymous unless you introduce yourself. But maybe you're out there listening in on tonight. Maybe you're listening in through the internet. And if you are, I'm going to say a prayer with you. Those that's in the studio, if you're listening in on tonight and you feel like you need prayer, you feel like you need to get back on track, you know that you've fallen off, and you just feel like you need a prayer, dial 1 on your dial pad, and I will be willing to pray with you. I have teams that's on that would be willing to pray with you to get you back to where you need to be. We have ministers that's in our studio on tonight that would love to pray with you. If that's you on tonight and you're listening in and you just feel like, gosh, I need this so much. I'm hopeless. I don't even know how to get out of this pit that I done dug for myself. You know, sometimes we just so engaged in sin that we don't even know how to get out of it. We don't even know the first journey to get out of it. Well, I'm just going to give you a simple thing, repent. It's simple. It's simply turning away from it and going before the Lord. And you may not know how to pray. You may not know how to pray. Just talk to him like you talk to anybody, a friend. Just talk to God. And he knows your heart. He knows your heart. So just talk to him. Talk to him. So, Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord. I pray for those listening in via the internet, and I pray for those in the studio on tonight, Father God. Lord, you didn't give us this word in vain. This is not just a cute sermon, Father. But, Father God, I believe that this was an inspired revelation knowledge from you, Lord. It's the inspired revelation knowledge. It was a rhema word, Father, that you wanted, and it was prophetic. Because you want your children to know that you love them.
And Father God, you're asking them to repent and turn away and come back to you. And so, Father God, I pray that every ear that heard on tonight, that they will turn away from that thing, whatever it is, Lord. Father God, that they will repent and that you will create in them a clean heart and renew a right spirit within them and take not your presence from them, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for your grace that is sufficient and your mercies that are new every day, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity, Father, to be rejoined to you by confessing with our mouths, Father God, and believing that you are Lord. Father God, we repent on tonight. We give every care and concern up to you, Father, because you care for us. And Lord, we ask you to enter back into our lives, Father. Father God, that we bring down all the walls of defense, all the walls of hurt, all the walls of pain, Father God, that keeps us separated from you, Lord. Father God, we just pray for those who have heard us, Father God. We lift those people up before you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father God, we ask that you will minister to them, Father, that you will heal the brokenness in them, Lord. Father God, that you will bless them. Yes, Father, that you will bless those who heard us, Father, that you will bless them, that they will come into the full knowledge of you, and that they too will repent, Father, and come back to their first love. So, Father, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, Father God. And we just give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I want to thank each and every one of you on tonight. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for those who stuck around and just followed your spirit. You had that gut instinct. You had that gut instinct that though there was a period of silence, there was a period of silence. You had that gut instinct to stick it through. See, sometimes things in life is like that. It gets silent, and we think God is not there, and we wonder. And oftentimes in that silent time when we should just sit still and know that he's God, we'll shut down, we'll quit, we'll run. And so I would have to say that silent moment, what the enemy meant for bad, God made for good, because you stuck it out. You didn't panic. You didn't fear. You stuck it out. You persist. You persisted, and the success of that persistence was that the show continued, that we got back on track, and we were able to bring to a close the word that God had for us on tonight. So with that being said, I want each and every one of you to know that I love you, and I appreciate you, and I thank you for your continued support. And I will ask that you will continue to pray for Coach D and my family, and just keep us in prayer, because, you know, when you say yes to the Lord, believe me, it opens up the ears of spirits, demonic spirits, because they hear somebody say yes, and their goal is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So I pray that you would keep us in prayer as we continue to try to bring forth encouragement and empowerment and education through the MCD Network. Join us on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Woman to Woman. I have two more shows that are coming to our network, actually maybe three, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to introduce those towards the end of the month. So it looks like we're going to go from just having shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays to also having a Monday night health show, and we're going to also have another show for youth. And it looks like we could potentially be also having a show for finance and real estate and so forth. So, again, I hope to be able to introduce those three things to you at the end of the month. Stay tuned. I'm trying to make this network all sufficient, that it be able to minister to the whole man, mind, body, and spirit, and that we will continue to give you the tools that you need to move forward. So we thank you. And again, know that you're loved and appreciated, and have a wonderful evening.